I just need to read off this here of what we're doing, and then I can start in the meeting. This is an interview with Chief Warrant Officer Beverly Law for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project by David Arnes at the Naval Reserve Center, at the Marine Corps Reserve Center, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, 22 February 1976. At approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. Mr. Law, could you just give me a brief background information on yourself and your career in the Marine Corps? Where are you from?
I'm from Rochester, Pennsylvania. I'm currently employed Timber Products Division of Babcock & Wilcox Company in Coppell, Pennsylvania, where I'm the assistant chief clerk. I entered the service in January of 1957. Of course, I got the boot camp at Fair Island, South Carolina, upon graduation. I was transferred from there to Cherry Point, North Carolina, 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing. I spent the majority of my time at Cherry Point, North Carolina, living in various capacities in the office of the training section. And I was discharged from the regular service in April of 1957. I didn't become affiliated with the reserve unit until approximately April of 59, at which time this was a 75 millimeter sky sweep anti-aircraft artillery battery. At that time, I was a sergeant. And my primary responsibility was as the platoon sergeant for the firing platoon. I had this position for approximately a year, at which time I took over the duties as company gunnery sergeant. 1960, when we went to 29 Palms, California, for annual training. Upon completion of annual training duty in 1960, I took over the duties of chief clerk for the company. I stayed chief clerk until approximately 1966, when at that time I assumed the duties as company first sergeant. In 1969, I was promoted to, or selected for and promoted to warrant officer, and assumed the duties as executive officer of the Motor Transport Maintenance Company. Which was a redesignation from the sky sweep in 1967. From 1969 up into the current time, I still hold a position as exec officer. Of course, the company is now a service company, which consists of a headquarters section, motor transport platoon, dispersing platoon, and a photo section.
Well, how many people are there in the service county?
I would say about 145.
I see. Now, are these the majority from seeing mandatory people that joined the reserve just recently, just maybe escaped the Vietnam conflict, or a majority of them older people?
Well, I think the majority of them, shall we say, enlisted probably to escape the Vietnam conflict. You have mandatory participants who, well, maybe because of schooling, have really decided to go into the UK. And then, possibly, a third of our company are fire service
personnel. I see. Now, you say they joined the Marine Reserve for schooling and everything. Is this a program the Reserve, the Marine Corps Reserve, is pursuing actively, do you think?
Yes, they're pursuing it actively within limits. I think right now, one of the probably the best programs I've seen for a while. They had to curtail because of funds, but it was for 120-day delay, or was similar to the 120-day delay program, whereby a senior could enlist in the reserves and attend meetings while he's still in school, and then upon completion of school, of course, he would be going to the initial active duty for training. I think within the last 3 or 4 years, we have started to get a better quality of people because we are reaching those who have high school educations, which of course is preferable to our high school dropouts. In this matter, I think that they have made a giant step forward as far as getting out of people that we want to do a job, and we'll do a good job for you.
Now, you're a warrant officer, and you came up through the ranks. What kind of an education do you have?
Well, basically, I have a high school education. I've completed probably 20 semester hours of college work.
I see. Now, how did you become a warrant? Did you take a test, or?
No. Marine Corps Reserve has a warrant officer commission. And in the Marine Corps Reserve, you are selected based upon an application for consideration, and then a board, which sits and screens your individual records. And that's the electoral record.
You had to apply for it, though.
I had to apply for it.
What made you apply, or what motivated you to apply for a commission?
Basically, you know, I would say it went back to my basic philosophy of life. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. Even though I felt that I could do well as an enlisted man, I felt that I could better myself by being an officer. And I do not, I'm not an individual who likes to just sit back and let opportunities go by. So I will try to avenge myself in any instance I can.
Now, do you think that your Marine Corps training or your Marine Corps responsibilities have helped you in your civilian job or your full-time job?
I think the association and close contact with members of various walks of life has helped tremendously. Basically, I've got an insight into other individuals' viewpoints by counseling sessions, and I've been able to better develop my leadership abilities, which in turn I feel positive has reflected in
What's a Bahian occupation?
Have you ever had any conflict with your Bahian occupation of, in your military responsibilities?
No, I've never had any conflict.
You find that the firm that you work for has been most cooperative, or just never had any?
Well, ever since I've been working for them, they have been extremely cooperative. I have yet to ask for any time off, they do training time or annual training duty. It wasn't gladly given.
I mean, do they encourage you to participate in
that? Yeah, definitely. Right.
Now, in your conversion from an enlisted man to the officer rank, have you found that an adjustment problem of any kind, or was there an adjustment? Let me ask you that.
Yeah, definitely there's an adjustment. After having been enlisted man for possibly 11 years and going into the officer rank, there has to be a little adjustment. I do not think the adjustment was hard to make, but it's a little adjustment in the way the individual carries himself, and the adjustment is made as easy or as hard as the individual permits to be made. Not a difficult question at all.
Now, as a reservist, when you go, let's say, and participate in your summer training camp or visit active Marine Corps facilities, do you think that the Marine Corps reservist is discriminated against by the active duty forces or anything?
No, I. For a while, maybe I did think that. Even when I was on active duty, I used to see reservists come in, and I would think, oh, there goes the 2 week warriors. But the more I become involved in the reserve unit, that, along with my associations with officers and staff members on the regular side of the establishment, there might be a little animosity or prejudice or what have you, but full scale, I would say no.
I see. Now, do you think there's been any racial prejudice in the Marine Corps? But let's get to the reserve part, in the Marine Corps reserve.
I can only speak for this company.
Uh-huh.
I have been a member of this company, like I said, since 1969. When I first joined, there was approximately 4 blacks here. At one time, I was the only black here. And at that time, I was also the exec officer. Mm-hmm. And as I've stated before, I have served as the first sergeant of the unit. I personally have not experienced any difficulties whatsoever. Now, maybe there has been some, but my personal experience, I can't actually say there has. I've always been received well, been invited down to various individuals' houses. We've always had parties, we've been along well. No racial slurs. Like I said, it could be a covert thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I can only go with what has affected me directly.
Yes.
No, it has.
I see. I see. In regards to the social aspects of the Marine Corps, do the Marine Corps Reserve officers have a social life? Do they get together once in a while? Is that it?
Yes, we get together. Of course, in addition to our, we usually have a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our Marine Corps birthday ball.
Mm-hmm.
But after drill weekends, we usually get together for an hour or two and sit around and maybe talk about the day's activities or what has transpired over the past month and drink a cool beer.
Is there a big separation between the officers and the enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserve?
It's a question that's really hard to answer. Basically, I do not think so.
Uh-huh.
I think there's the necessary separation.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as being a big separation, I really can't feel that way because I have known on various occasions that enlisted people needed help. They would even have a tendency to call me at my house or any time I'm away from here to seek my advice, my help. So like I said, it'd be very difficult to answer.
Uh-huh.
Probably based more or less on the individuals themselves.
I see. Now, you've been with this unit quite a while, even though it's changed functions, etc. Has the unit been accepted by the community here in Newcastle area?
Yes, I believe it has.
Uh-huh.
I believe it has. I know over the years that... Over the years that I've been associated with the unit, we've had no friction with the local populace. So.
I see. Now, does the unit here participate in any civic or community affairs or events?
Well, we do on a limited scale.
I see.
Of course, our main objective is training.
Uh-huh.
And we have to qualify our people for the various MOSs, which we have quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
So anything we do as far as civic action is concerned, it has to be on a limited scale. But where possible, like parades and et cetera, we will get involved, provide color details, maybe help out with a funeral,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
In this training, you mentioned that your main responsibility is training. What kind of training? Is it mostly classroom or on the job or hands-on? What type of training do you conduct at a reserve center?
We conduct a combination of both classroom instruction and on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm.
Classroom instruction is probably minimal. It's only to the extent where you need an extra technical advice on a piece of equipment. But right now, the majority of our training is on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm. What type of thing do you think makes the average reservist come to drill? Is it for the money, patriotism? You know, why does a Marine Corps reservist come to drill?
Good question. And once again, I don't think you can categorize them into two categories.
The question, before we interrupted there, the question was, what makes a reservist come to drill?
Once again, I don't think you can categorize the individuals. We have some here, especially our staff NCOs, who come because they're motivated, and they're motivated by probably the desire to affiliate. We have some that come here because of the money, and we have some who come here basically because they sign a contract and that's where they're going to put in their obligation. I don't think you could either use two categories on it. It would be hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Probably three or four categories would break up why they'd really be here.
This, speaking of this particular unit, would you say that the morale would be, is good? What I'm leading to a couple more questions and I just want to get some basis of it.
Yes, I would say the morale is good.
Do you think that morale at drill is affected by public opinion on the outside? In other words, how they look at the military?
I think public opinion has a lot to do with the morale. Yes, I do.
How about these latest, in the 1970 or 77 budget, recently in the newspaper, they're talking about cutting the reserves rather badly. Do you think this affects your performance and the performance of the reservists?
It would affect our performance, and I'm speaking at the reserves as a whole, if the budget is cut to a certain extent where we cannot get those needed equipment and supplies that we have to need to train with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's plain and simple that if you have nothing, or like the old song says, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You have nothing to work with, and there's no training to be, or meaningful training to be received.
That brings another question to mind. Do you think that your operating budget at the present time is satisfactory to conduct the training?
Yes. I'm only speaking once again from right here, at this location. Yes, our budget is satisfactory.
Are you getting what you're asking for when you go in for it, or are you getting...
Sure.
I see. Do you really think that the training that you just conducted here keeps them ready to go, keeps the reservists ready to go?
Past experience has proven, and I'm talking about when I've taken this unit or any of the reserve units that I've been affiliated with, going back from the time it was a 75-millimeter skysuit outfit, that when the unit or the reserves go on active duty, they perform as good, if not better, than their counterparts. We have been told many times by various people that the status of our training is excellent.
You've mentioned about going on your 2-week training period, your summer camp, I think. Could you just give me an idea of what do you do when you go to summer camp? What kind of training takes place?
Basically, when we go to summer camp, we integrate right in with the regular Marine Corps. We are performing those duties that on the regular side of the house would be performed. For instance, motor transport. For the motor transport section, who is our host unit, our motor transport section will match right in with our motor transport, perform those duties the same as if our regular counterparts do. The same with the various sections of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, what you have there probably is a regular company plus.
I see. Now, when you go, do you take your own vehicles when you go, or?
No, we do not take our own vehicles. Once again, I think going, we're transporting them as far as we have to go, which would be basically North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a little bit out of the question.
How do you get there?
Well, usually by chartered aircraft.
They land right here and pick you up, is that it?
Well, we can either fly to Youngstown or we fly out of Greater Pittsburgh Airport.
I see. Now, when you arrive down there, do they billet the unit separately or with the other?
No, the unit's billet separately. By all means, we try to maintain unit integrity.
How many officers are there in this unit?
Right now, we have 10 officers.
10 officers. Now, the officer, the commanding officer would be a what?
Captain.
A captain. Now you're a CWO3, I'm sure there must be officers in between. How do you end up as being the executive?
I would say basically because of my experience with the reserve establishment and my knowledge of training requirements and administration.
Mm-hmm.
What I've had a chance to, by coming up through the ranks, to be involved in these various areas whereby most of our officers who are just joining have have never had this chance to get to develop this expertise in these various areas.
I see. Now, what kind of jobs do they perform?
Well, we have staff. Actually, what they got are staff jobs.
I see.
For instance, a dispersing officer, mm-hmm. reproduction officer, photograph officer, they're all basically staff jobs.
I see. Now, are they, is that their specialty, or are they just assigned those jobs?
Majority of them, their specialty. We do have some who are not at this time actually qualified to fill some of the lesser jobs, but who are in training assignment.
Oh, I see. Now, when you go to you could be qualified in one job and then go to another job and get an in-training assignment, is that it? I see. Now, again, getting back to this, when you go on your training duty, where are the officers billeted?
In officers' quarters.
In officers' quarters. I see. Do you eat in a regular enlisted, or do you have a separate mess?
We have an officer's mess.
I see. Now, do you take any field exercises when you're down?
We usually try to spend several evenings during the course of a two-week period out in the field, in the evenings, doing some of the things that we can't do because of our limited area here. We've accomplished quite a few of our, we call them essential subjects training. We've accomplished that on out in the field.
Now, an essential subject, could you give me an idea what that
was? NBC warfare training.
Right.
Gas mask drill. Basically, scouting and patrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Night compass.
I see. Now, even though a man might be a specialist in photography or something like that, does he have to requalify as a regular Marine carrying a rifle type thing once in a while? Or?
Yes, we're required to requalify with the rifle at least once every 3 years.
I see.
We here in this company, we work for requalification every year.
I see. How about the officers? Do they have to qualify with any special weapon or anything?
Well, yes, their TO weapon, whatever it may be, it could be the .45, which the majority of them are the .45. But once again, we go out there right along with the troops and we buy the rifle for the qualification. They do too.
I know this is a tough question, but maybe I can ask you now and you can give me an answer a bit later thinking about it would be, is there any particular memorable training period that you can remember that anything specific happened, either good or bad? I'm not saying it has to be. So you can give me an example of what kind of duties that you do while you're on training duty.
Probably the most memorable occasion I had was back in 1960 when I was coming gunnery sergeant. We were at 21 in Palms, of course, being new at the unit, with the unit, and new as a company gunny. I was all hot to trot, but the unit was praised, highly praised for never missing a movement. And when I'm talking about never missing a movement, when they were designated to be on a range at a specific time, we were always there, maybe 1 or 2 minutes early. We were never late. And the base commander thought this was exceptional for a reserve unit. And my commanding officer at the time was Major Scott. He had nothing but praise for my ability to get over there, and he thought we'd never be able to make our training commitments on time, but I've always enjoyed that summer camp. And all of them really leave something in your mind, either good or bad, but all of them leave something for you to remember them by.
Now, Marines are supposedly amphibious, et cetera. Have you had any experiences at sea or on board ships or anything like that?
Me personally?
Yes.
Not
I've been to an amphibious school in Middle Creek.
Uh-huh.
But besides from that, I've never been out on a board ship.
Well, being a sailor, I just hit the that question. There. When you come to drill, do you stay here at the center for a weekend, or you go home at night, or on drill weekend?
All depends on how tired I am when I get here. I say the majority of the time I will stay.
You stay here. I see. What do you do, let's say, when you do stay in your off hours, when there isn't any drills going? I mean, do the people get together, or do they kind of sit by themselves? Is there a camaraderie in the Marine Corps Reserve?
Yeah, I think so. Usually after reserve meeting, there are several local pubs here we can visit, and quite a few of the troops, plus our officers and staff NCOs, stop by to shoot the breeze for a while.
I see. Is there a strong feeling? In other words, like on active duty, being an active duty type myself, always interested me the fact how they all seem to stick together. In other words, you might have all kinds of hassles at the office, but boy, when you're out on the street and you know, somebody says, "Hey, Marine," then everybody kind of gathers together and sticks by one another. Do you think there's that type of in the reserve as much as there is on active duty?
I don't think so. Matter of fact, I've seen it in action more than once.
Uh-huh.
I have had occasions where I have met people who have been members of this reserve unit, even though they took their discharge without we have been in, say, several bars or something of someone who makes the crack out of the way. They always have a tendency to stay together.
I see. How does your family accept your Marine life?
Is that a question?
I mean, do they encourage you, or?
I can't say they actually encourage them, but then again, on the other hand, they don't discourage me. This is something that I want to do, and
uh-huh.
I'm going to do it.
So. Why the Marine Corps? Okay, why the military service to start with, and then why the Marine Corps?
Oh, well, that's a good question. As a matter of fact, I never really thought about it.
Uh-huh.
When I joined the military service, I joined basically because a friend of mine, a good friend who I've been raised with all my life, was going. And at the time, we thought it was a good idea. Why the military or the Marine Corps? Probably just because the Marine recruiter was standing there when we decided to make our minds to go. I really can't say. But he was the first person we saw when we went in there and decided we were going to go.
I see. I suspect you've seen a large change in the Marine Corps Reserve in the last 10 or 15 years. Do you think it's getting better or worse, or what do you see in the future, too? In that area.
Yes, there's been a big change. I think in a lot of instances it's been for the better because, like I said, the caliber of people that we are now attracting. I just hope that we continue to improve as we go along.
I see no pitfalls unless we ourselves cause them. Because, like I said, right now we're getting people in, and it seems to me these people are here because they want to be here, which makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of them, and I'm speaking about the younger set, when they're given a job to do, it seems to me like they're doing it with a lot of enthusiasm, and this is what you need.
Right.
So if we continue to attract this caliber of people, I don't see why we shouldn't get better as years go.
Now, we've covered quite a bit. We've been talking about 40 minutes in here. I was just wondering, is there anything that I haven't, that, you know, is burning in your mind that you maybe wanted to tell me that I haven't asked you? You know, concerning any aspects of the reserve.
I can't think of anything.
There's one last question that I almost forget to ask you. In your relations in the reserves and everything, have you ever had any relationship with any other reserve branches or anything like that?
As far as the units concerned?
Well, in other words, have you ever met with the Navy or the Air Force or anything like that? Have you ever had any inter-service working or anything?
Personally, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. What has always been your idea of the other services? I'm an honest one.
Well, if you want an honest idea, is this. Once again, I think there's nothing wrong with any service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, once again, what the individuals put in is what they're going to get out.
Uh-huh.
If a person tells me he's in the Army, the Navy, or what have you, and just like I told some of my own people here this morning, I don't care what you are, just do the best, whatever it is. And I can't say that I hate anybody, or I would probably seem funny coming from an individual like me, but just putting on basic philosophy, I just can't go along because you have a different uniform on. I don't like you, or I'll call you a swab you, or, a man's a man, really, maybe.
Okay, okay.